Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Modo Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Modo Casino, the only app worth your time.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details.
Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
Hour number two, Darren Donick and Chase on this Tuesday. Keith Bullock, Titans legend. He is, of course, part of our Jeff Fisher bracket, our Jeff Fisher region, our Nashville sports bracket is out on Twitter. You can make your votes, cast your votes today, and by 9 o'clock tonight, we will have the first round results of that. K-Bull going up against Ingle Martin. Keith Bullock, the 3 seed versus Ingle Martin, the 14 seed. We say hello to Emory Hunt with a football game plan. Does a good talent evaluator as we sit here. Tomorrow will be April, and we're going into the month where the NFL will indeed conduct their draft. Emory, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, man. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah, thanks for doing this. We're seeing reports out there that the Dolphins, you know, they've got a lot of draft capital. They've got 5 picks in the first 2 rounds, 3 first-round picks, and they desperately need a franchise quarterback with that 5th pick, but they may be eyeing that first pick to guarantee they get their guy. One, let me just start with, do you think they have identified who they want to be their guy for the next decade or so?
You know, that's interesting. I don't know if they've identified that just yet. They may have an idea. They may have narrowed it down. But I'm of the mindset to where, if you're the Dolphins and you have 3 first-round picks, 3 premium picks to go along with what you've already done in the offseason, they've really stockpiled that roster, why would you not go and see how healthy Cam Newton is? That way you can solve your quarterback problem and then use those 3 premier first-round picks to continue to add youthful, cheap, explosive talent around your new franchise quarterback.
Interesting. Why don't you think Cam Newton? Is it just the uncertainty because we're in, you know, we're not conducting business as normal? Is it just because of the health concerns?
I think so, and I think that's why it's important for him. You know, he's posting these videos, but we need to see these videos start showing him dropping back, throwing the football. Right now, you're seeing him working out, which is fine. You can do that, but I guess for teams to feel comfortable, you need to see if he can move around, throw, and how healthy that shoulder and how healthy that foot is. If he can start showing those, and if this was a normal, off season, he probably would have been signed already. But if he can start to show those things, I think teams would be more inclined to go with him, because a healthy Cam Newton is the best quarterback right now in the draft and on the free agency market.
So do this for us, Emory. Tell us, in your opinion, how would you rank the 4 quarterbacks that are projected to go high in this year's draft? Well, you got Tua, you've got Burrow, and let's throw Jordan Love and Justin Herbert in there, who everybody suspects they're going to go first round to. Rank them 1 through 4 in your opinion, and maybe tell us why you, whoever you have, number one, why?
Well, right now, in my draft rankings, I have Joe Burrow 1, Jalen Hurts 2, Tua Tagovailoa at 3, and at number 4, I actually have Tyler Huntley out of Utah. I think he's one of the more efficient quarterbacks in the draft class, and playing pro ball is always about efficiency, and he does a good job in doing that. But, you know, Burrow to me, he reminds me a lot of Matt Ryan. He has a lot of those tangible traits that you can see. Obviously, the accuracy, the touch, the anticipation, but the intangible stuff, how tough he is versus pressure, how he's willing to not let a play die and try to find a way to make a play. You like that about him. He makes those receptions easy for receivers. So I think right now he's my number one. And Hurts is my number two, because people love to ignore the growth he had in college. From, first of all, he led his team as a freshman to the national title game, then got humbled by getting benched and didn't transfer out, stayed, worked on his craft, and when he got into the game, and throughout that season, you saw growth in his game that he was trying specifically to be a passer. They needed him to be that against Georgia in the title game. Then you see him go on short notice to Oklahoma, learn that offense in a summer, not a spring, but a summer, a spring and a summer, but then go out there and then, win that job and become a Heisman finalist and look even better than he did at Alabama in that short stint of improving as a passer. So his arrow is pointing upwards, and we know about those intangible things, his leadership, his willingness to find a way to make plays, his situational football awareness is key, and the fact that he's able to do all that and have been dominant at two separate blue blood programs, how could you not want Jalen Hurts to quarterback your football team?
Interesting. So we had, I know you know Teron Davenport well, we had TD on our show yesterday, and it actually sparked this discussion after we got off the phone with him about Jalen Hurts, and so we had a pretty spirited debate about Jalen Hurts. You kind of went through it, but I mean, I think anybody who talks to Jalen Hurts is going to fall in love with him. He's going to check off all the boxes when it comes to, you know, being a leader, saying the right things, doing the right things, a well put together young man. But I guess my questions are, and he's got, we know his legs, we know he is a threat when he takes off running, but I guess my biggest concern is accuracy at the next level, arm strength at the next level. Can he make the throws necessary in the NFL week in and week out? I see him more as a backup than a starter, so tell me why I'm wrong.
Because he's done all those things that you said he can't do, or he hadn't shown he can do. Remember, this is a guy that, when you look, he reminds me a lot of Dak Prescott. When you looked at Dak Prescott as a freshman, as a sophomore, you saw Jalen Hurts as a freshman, as a sophomore. And where Prescott became Prescott was the jump from his junior season to his senior season, where you started to say, you know what, Prescott is not actually bad. And it was in that bowl game, the Citrus Bowl against NC State, where you started to see the same things about Jacoby Brissett. Like, man, these two quarterbacks are not that bad. They're actually looking pretty good. And we know Prescott goes down to the Senior Bowl and becomes the MVP of that game. You know, that's a game that had Carson Wentz in it. Everybody talks about that year, but Prescott was the best quarterback down there. You look at Jalen Hurts and what he brings to the table, and it was just this past season, you're like, okay, this will be the test for him to see how much he has progressed as a passer at Oklahoma, because we know they throw the football, and you're going to see a lot of coverage in the Big 12, more so than you're going to see in the SEC. So how he handles that situation will be interesting. And so we saw him pass that test, and we saw him be battle-tested in games where they were down, but they came back and won. You think about the Baylor game when he came back and led his team to a victory. We hadn't seen that from Justin Herbert. We hadn't seen that from Jordan Love. We hadn't seen that from Jake Fromm. We saw that from Jalen Hurts time and time again. Remember, if it wasn't for Deshaun Watson being Deshaun Watson, he drove that team down the field and gave them the go-ahead point with a minute 20 seconds left in that ball game against Clemson as a freshman. So we've seen Hurts do it on the big scale constantly. We haven't seen that from Hurts. We haven't seen that from Fromm. We haven't seen that from Jordan Love. Hurts is battle-tested, and I think he's more ready to go right now. And I hadn't even talked about his ability to run the football.
We're talking to Emory Hunt, football game plan. So looking at the Tennessee Titans, they'll be picking with the 29th overall pick. And in my mind, Emory, there are several directions they could go there. They could go pass rush, you know, for edge. They could go cornerback. Those are probably the top two, and then maybe even offensive line. So when you look at the Titans and their needs, what they've done in free agency, in your opinion, what position do you think they need to address with that 29th overall pick?
That's a great question because, like you said, they have a lot of ways they can go. But I'm probably more inclined to look at the defense and, you know, see, okay, well, if they are adding Vic Beasley and they have a guy in Derek Robertson already that can bring some power, some pop off the edge, I'm sorry, cornerback will probably be one area where they can address. So I think I would go cornerback. You look at guys that can not only attack the ball but take the ball away. I like Damon Arnette out of Ohio State. I'm a big Amik Robertson fan out of Louisiana Tech. You know, you look at Jalen Johnson out of Utah, guys that can get out there and play physical. You want a bigger corner. Reggie Robinson II out of Tulsa is a guy that no one is talking about that I think is going to go real high in the draft, maybe like in the second round, but he's a good player. So I would say cornerback, but if they want to go D-line, you know, A.J. Epenesa, I think, is going to be a guy that'll be there when the Titans pick. So they have a lot of options here that can help this football team on the defense side of football at pick 29, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and some other areas that I look, you know, as you get later in the draft that I could see them addressing, and I know this sounds crazy because you look at the season that A.J. Brown had, but I still – could see wide receiver being an option. And I really like this draft class for wide receiver if you're the Titans and you're looking at some depth players or somebody that you can develop at the receiver position, who are some standouts for you?
Listen, you look at a guy that probably would be a perfect fit with what they already have on the roster. I like KJ Hamler out of Penn State. And when you look at how explosive he is in his route, tracking the football, and also after the catch, he's instant offense. So as a third option in this passing game, I think he'd be fantastic. He also brings the added benefit of helping you strengthen your special teams unit. I know you have Khalif Raymond out there as one of the better returners in the game right now. He's been very productive for Tennessee, but Hamler is a guy that can definitely increase that and enhance that. And I think for him, as a slot guy, it would be great if you want to go bigger slot guy. I like Brian Edwards out of South Carolina. I think people are not giving him enough credit for his ability as a catch-and-run guy. He can play inside or out, so you get a big receiver that can catch and run, and one that's going to probably fall because he's coming off of that foot injury. So I look at Hamler and Brian Edwards out of South Carolina as two guys that are really good players that could be perfect fits for what the Titans do offensively.
They obviously are going to have Derrick Henry back, whether it's on the franchise tag or a long-term deal, but then they don't really have anything behind him. Again, you look at the depth in this draft, there are some running backs that stand out to me that I think will be available to the Titans. Who are some running backs that you like?
I like A.J. Dillon. And to me, he's cut from the same cloth as Derrick Henry. A guy that I've gone to about 4 or 5 Boston College games live during my scouting season because they always have something that works with my broadcast schedule. They always have a Friday night game or a Thursday night game, so I'm able to get up to Chestnut Hill, watch a game, and get back down to where I need to be for my Saturday broadcast. So I've seen a lot of A.J. Dillon. And the first couple of seasons, I'm like, this guy runs into too much contact. This past season, I was at the Kansas game, and I came away impressed with how much shifty he looked this year. He added a little bit more shiftiness to his game. In addition to the power, he's 250, and he has that build-up speed like Henry does, where you think, okay, this is a 250-pound back, I can run him down. But he's pulling away from defensive backs and players in the secondary. So I think Dillon would give them that powerful back that can also pick up chunk plays on the ground if you want to spell Henry. I think when you look at Dillon and what he brings to the table, same skill set, similar skill set, same type of powerful back with speed would be a nice 1-2 punch in the backfield.
We're talking to Emory Hunt. You can follow him on Twitter, FBallGamePlan, and he has some great things on his website, footballgameplan.com, including talking ball with the Czar. Emory, I want to ask you about another running back that, of course, played here in Nashville. And, obviously, playing at Vanderbilt, he didn't win a whole lot of games, but when he was out there, but he had some great games. I've watched Vanderbilt football for a long time, but Keyshawn Vaughn appears to be a pretty unique talent. I'm just curious what you see from him and where do you think he might fall?
I like Keyshawn Vaughn. I think when you look at what he does well, he is one that is not afraid of contact. I tell you that. That can be both a good and bad thing. You sort of want him to start adding a little bit of avoidance to his game, to put it nicely, because you can't keep running into, defensive players, man. That stuff, it wears you down. But you like how consistent he was at Vanderbilt. I think him catching the football is an underrated part of his game. And, I think when he is using a passing game, he is more like he's not your standard meets expectations back, which are swing, your screens, your flares, and flats. That, you expect him to do that as a running back. But he can be used in a downfield passing game. I like how he's able to catch the ball over his shoulder, how he's comfortable catching away from his body. He understands pass pro, so the effort is there in the blocking department, so you can trust him out there on third down. So I think that part of his game yields itself to him being a very productive pro for a very long time.
Emory, before we let you go, there's a lot of people, of course, that compile information and analysis getting ready for a draft. I'm curious how you do it, because I think I always appreciate guys that really know how to evaluate tape and know what they're looking for. So give us your background on how you put together all your info.
Absolutely. Well, I utilize my playing background. Obviously, I played at running back at the University of Louisiana. Wow, it was 20 years ago. So I feel old, but I coached ball before. I coached high school ball right after I got out of college, and I used those two experiences plus the being a broadcaster and doing my own scouting stuff is how I formulated my whole process. So I watched three games of a prospect: their best game, their worst game, and their most intriguing matchup, and get a good 360 view of what they possibly do. For in my opinion, anything outside of those three games, maybe even four games, if you're still unsure, you're starting to see what you want to see. So you kind of keep it limited to where you don't get influenced by, okay, I want to see this guy run fast. You watch a lot of games, you're going to make yourself see him run fast. So that's how I formulate the process. And, every draft season we go through 700 prospects. Right now I have my draft guide out, so people can go get that at footballgameplan.com/2020draft guide. Over 650 prospects, 689 to be exact. You have individual scouting reports where we go through everything that a prospect does well. We show you the games that we watch. We talk about his areas of improvement. And if there's a comp to be made, we make a comp. But we rank over 650 guys out there, and that's just the entirety of my process. My draft process doesn't start until January when I go down to the College Gridiron Showcase, then from that to the Tropical Bowl, then to the Shrine Bowl, then the Senior Bowl. And then I use that information to go back to the studio and break down film all February before I start releasing my grade. So January and 2 weeks into February, I'm watching film, evaluating prospects, and then I'm rolling it out for the viewers, for the fans, and people to get a get a good gauge of what I think about these players. And this was the first year we put out a draft guide. I put all those notes out there on paper.
Emory, last thing, everybody's praising this wide receiver class that's going to be available in the draft at in April. Is there an elite number one, DeAndre Hopkins, Julio Jones, all the guys that we identify as elite number ones in the league, the stud receivers? Is there a stud coming out of this draft class, or just some really good wide receivers?
And that's one element of how I break down my receivers. I break them down to split ends, slot, flankers, and inside receivers. And right now, there's a stud at split end. That's Henry Ruggs. I really like. He graded out the best at split ends. Flankers, C.D. Lamb, graded out high, number one in that area. Slot, I'm a Jerry Jeudy guy, graded out really high there. And inside receiver, we talked about Brian Hepworth. So it all depends on what you're looking for. Last year, I had, I want to say, six players rated 80 or above. And to me, if you're hitting 80, you're a first-round type talent. I would feel comfortable taking you in the first round. This year, I have nine guys that hit that 80 or above mark. So it's a really deep class, like they say, but you'll find the top-end guys, like you mentioned, or you'll find guys that can fill in as your wide receiver three, wide receiver four, some core special teamers that are in this list as well. This is a great class to help stockpile your roster.
Where'd you have A.J. Brown last year, this time last year?
A.J. Brown was my number two slot receiver. So I had him in, I had a bigger inside receiver. I liked A.J. Brown. I thought he was a guy that, I didn't think he was the fastest, but I thought he could play that inside game. So I had him rated as my number two slot guy.
That's awesome. Hey, Emory, thanks for the visit. Really appreciate it. And we'll talk to you down the road, okay?
Appreciate you guys. Thanks a lot.
All right, Emory Hunt, you can find his work. A Football Game Plan is his website. You just heard it, a talent evaluator, and the NFL draft will be taking place in less than a month. We'll come back. More of Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5, The Game. Keith Bullock coming up at high noon on this Tuesday, back here on Darren Donick and Chase. Pretty interesting to hear him have Jalen Hurts number two. That is the beauty of the NFL draft, the inexact science that it is. And I just decided to pluck out 2005 guys out of the air. And just, we've been talking about the Dolphins with the fifth pick. And the Titans have been in this position, obviously, where they've had a top five pick. And when you just look over the years, just think about that. The top five picks in all of football, you would think more times than not, you're going to have a lot of home runs with those top five picks. So let's just start with 2005, and let's just kind of see what everybody thinks of, was that a hit or a miss? 49ers, 1 overall, took Alex Smith.
I mean,
that's a hit.
Yeah.
It's
not a home run. But
you do. You have
hit.
To like exhale, and then you go, okay, hit.
I mean, the guy has had a solid career.
Solid.
I mean,
he's rock solid. Rock solid. Not spectacular, but solid.
Okay. Dolphins, number 2 pick, Ronnie Brown.
Miss. I mean, not a total miss, but definitely not what you're hoping
you're
for.
You're right. Not a total miss, but not the number two. Yeah, exactly. Well said. Not the number 2 pick.
But this is, I think, where you're going with it. This is a fairly thin draft here.
Well, I'm also setting up a theme, too, of isn't it? Just think about the mentality in 2005. Third pick, Browns, Braylon Edwards.
That's a miss.
Miss. Total miss. That's a whiff.
That's a laugh.
Bears, 4th pick, Cedric Benson.
Miss.
Tampa Bay Bucks, Cadillac Williams.
Oh. Miss.
So think about
Got
that.
Got injured, right? I think he could have.
Running backs in the first
Remember
five
those?
Picks.
Remember those running backs, though, for Auburn? You think back to their undefeated season. That was a heck of a team, but it's just amazing how, you know, the third guy, Brandon Jacobs, who was not on this first round list, I can't remember when he got picked, but he probably had the best career of the three, right, over time.
Who's this?
Brandon Jacobs.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, he was more productive. I mean, he still was there. You're talking about the Giants. I mean, he was good. He was good. But just three.
Auburn had all three of those guys.
I know. Isn't that crazy? Three running backs in the first 5 picks in 2005. That was the mentality. I mean, just think about that today, what people would do if three running backs went in the first 5 picks. But overall, now, I think overall you're going to – and by the way, the Titans had the 6th pick, and we all remember who they took. Chase, who'd they take with the 6th pick?
In 2005, that was –
You just heard Willie laugh. Why would Willie laugh? Why would Willie chuckle?
Was that Pac-Man?
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know what? He was better. You know, if you look at his whole body of work, he was more productive than a lot of those guys.
No doubt. You're absolutely right.
And you guys tell me if you agree with what I'm about to say. He is the most frustrating draft pick in my mind in Titans history, because had he kept his stuff together, he could possibly be in Canton. Like, I think he was that good.
I don't think that's not crazy to say.
I mean, that his rookie season, he was so good for them.
It's only crazy because he was so far from being what you just said, if he couldn't be.
Right.
Like, if he just could have not been in trouble 36 times off the field.
But and he's another one that ended up lasting in the league just because that's how talented he was. Now, he didn't live up to the potential that he had and what he could have been here or, you know, anywhere. But, I mean, I think he just got out a couple years ago. I mean, he was with the Bengals for a long time. But even then, he couldn't stay out of trouble. Like, there was, you know, always things that came up with him. But it just – every time I think about – Adam Pac-Man Jones, I want to hit my head against the desk because of what could have been.
Well, he sabotaged the best years of his career because he got suspended for a whole year, right? And then during the time he was even allowed to play, he was constantly dealing with whatever the last incident was, and there were so many, you lost track after a while, and it was to a point where it was hard to even root for him because you're like, wait, I mean, what is going on here? It was there were so many distractions, but I agree with you, Chase. If you could have put all that aside, I mean, the talent. I just take the punt returns. I don't know, other than like Deion Sanders and some of the other best of the best. I think he ranked right up there with the best I've seen at being able to start from a dead stop, catching the ball, make the first guy or two miss. I mean, he was that good.
Yep. In his 2 years with the Titans as a returner, he had 4 total touchdowns.
But, oh, you did not leave your seat. If the team was coming out to punt, you were not going to leave your seat.
And
whether
you're
watching on television
music.
Or you were at the stadium, you were not leaving till they went to the commercial break.
But then he missed 2 full seasons, one with a suspension, and then when he left Dallas, you know, nobody wanted to to sign him, and then he landed with Cincinnati and was there for a long time. 2018 was his last year.
If he had the right, you know, demeanor upstairs in his head and he had the right approach to the game, yes, I agree with you. He had everything you were looking for to be a Hall of Fame player. He was that talented. But, you know, it's so ridiculous to say because the other stuff was such a big part of who he was. But he did last a lot longer than any of us thought he would. I'll say that. Yeah. I would have never, ever suspected he lasted that long in the league. So we go to 06. The Texans, number one, Mario Williams.
It was pretty good.
It's a hit.
Oh,
it's not
man.
Great, but it's a hit.
I think it could have been better.
Could have been better.
I think.
But Alex Smith was the same way, right? I mean,
sure.
Mario Williams.
Yeah,
if you're going to give Alex Smith the
it's
thumbs
not like
up,
he. Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
I think I thought he was a stretch at number one overall at the time, considering the quarterbacks that we're going to be talking about. But you know, he was a hit.
Saints, Reggie Bush.
He's a hit.
Hit.
Okay.
Maybe didn't live up to number two overall.
Yeah, but overall, it's a hit. Three, Titans, VY.
Swing and a miss.
You know, maybe a single. Maybe a broken bat single.
Well, right. It's not a strikeout, but right. It wasn't a home run. It wasn't even – I don't think it was extra bases. Was it?
No,
maybe.
No.
Maybe
right.
A double.
Well, that's the thing. Like, when you have the first – three picks or the first five picks, you're hoping for more than a single, right? That's what you're hoping for. It doesn't always work out that way, but it's better to have a single than a whiff.
Vince is a prime example of a guy that didn't live up to his potential, and a lot of that was on him. But also, when you have the owner telling the GM and the coach, hey, that's your guy, that's who I want, that generally doesn't work. No. You got to have everybody on the same page.
Fourth, the Jets, DeBrickishaw Ferguson.
Solid.
Oh,
that's
he
a
was
hit.
Solid, yeah.
That's a hit.
I
had to think back for a second. Yeah, that was a hit.
Packers, A.J.
Played the Music City Bowl.
Yeah.
Yes. AJ. That's right.
A.J. Hawk. Yeah, I don't
I'd
remember. He didn't last very long, did he?
I don't think that's a hit at all. I think that was a miss. The fifth pick overall?
Well, maybe he didn't live up to that, but he was around. I'm trying to look up how long he was around. He won the Super Bowl with the Packers. Yeah, you're right.
I mean, I don't know.
He wasn't. Well, 10 years. He was in the league for 10 years.
It's kind of a right there.
That's not a miss. If you're in the league for 10 years, that's not a miss.
I think you have to clarify because if you say hit, I mean, we were joking. I know Willie was joking with a broken bat single, but I mean, that's a hit. So it's what's your definition of a hit?
See, why we're doing the exercise. Think about it. We've done two seasons of the top five picks in the league, and none of them have been a no brainer. Like, oh, great pick, great pick.
Right.
You know what I mean? We're going. Yeah, I mean,
solid. He's
right. Wait a minute. Let's look and see exactly what he did. It's wow, you know, and that's not the way it's supposed to be. Because I've told you this exercise. Go do hockey, and go do the top five picks, and then watch how you go. Whoa, yeah, home run, star, elite,
right.
Hall of Famer. Hall of Famer. It's just weird where in football you start playing this game and you just realize how tough it is to hit on these. I mean, we just did 2 years of the top five picks, and most of them were like, no, probably not worth it. Or, okay, that's not what you're looking for with a top five pick. Cincinnati's looking for a home run. Miami's looking for a home run. Right, teams
okay, so,
that have these picks are looking for the Lions.
Well,
I'd be curious if you took
if you set the top five, Darren, for like let's just take a 10-year span. I wonder what the batting average would be for home runs. Right, everybody wants a home run when you have a top five pick, but I wonder what percentage really are home runs. It's probably not as high as you think.
In drafts.
Top five picks.
Yeah.
And just overall.
If you took a ten year span of the top five picks overall, how many are home runs? It's not 75% Probably. I don't know. I'd have to look.
I just pulled
up 2007. It depends on what you would consider being a home run, a franchise player, mm-hmm. or something like that, or what qualifies as a home run. But I think you're probably disappointed more than you think.
Okay, so here we go. 07's got – this has got the first
– There are two.
Okay, we got a heartbeat. Okay, the Raiders, Jamarcus Russell. Ooh, number one pick. Yeah, okay, we know
now
that.
That's a miss.
Don't need to think about that. Lions, number two, Calvin Johnson.
That's a home run.
Home run. Cleveland Browns.
No doubt.
Third pick, Joe Thomas.
I would also say
home run. Home run.
No doubt.
Two home runs. Buccaneers, Gaines Adams, fourth pick.
Don't even remember him.
Nope. That would be a
defensive line?
Yeah.
Yeah.
From Clemson.
Yeah. And then Arizona took Levi Brown, the offensive tackle from Penn State.
No.
Levi Brown played. He played. Maybe not. No, not fifth pick overall.
And that was a mess. That's the fortunate, unfortunate part. Like, and we've talked about it with Corey Davis. If you're drafted top five, you're going to always have that. That's not going to go away your entire career. You were the fifth overall pick or you were the fourth overall pick. So there's always going to be this standard that, as we are discovering with this exercise, that not a lot of people are going to live up to.
So 3 years of top five picks, finally, two home runs in the same draft. Okay, 08, Jake Long, first pick overall.
I'll say
he's a Nashvilleian, so watch out.
He is?
Yeah.
He's a hit. He's not a home run.
Jake Long's a Nashvilleian?
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
He is. Comes to a lot of Predators games.
Really?
Oh, yeah. You'll see him in the Lexus Lounge. You can't miss him. He's, what, 6'8 or 6'7?
Yeah, he's huge.
Yeah, solid player, not a number one overall pick.
Okay. Goes back to our category. Okay. Rams, Chris Long. So the Longs went first and second. Number two pick overall.
Chris Long is at least a double, right?
Yeah,
he's not
solid.
Solid.
Two Super Bowls.
I'd give him a yes. Yeah, I'd give him a yes.
Home run though?
No, not a home run, but going
he's
back
a hit.
To okay. All right. We'll give it to you. You know, that type of deal.
That wasn't a
No, not a home
draft.
Run. Matt Ryan, third.
I'd say close. If he's not a home run, he's at least a triple.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been their franchise.
I mean, he's had an MVP season, right? He's got him to a Super Bowl, should have won the Super Bowl.
I watched
MVP.
That game the other day. It was on. Fox had it on. And I sat there and watched the whole thing with my dad, and I just go, I know what happens. I'm sucked in. I can't turn away. How did they blow this?
Well, you watched it.
I did. Yeah. I mean, it's still unbelievable, you know, 3 years later.
I would deem it a home run. I know he hasn't won the Super Bowl, and I know that a lot of people
won the MVP.
Bang on Matt Ryan, but he's still a home run. That's what you're looking for with the third pick overall. They got a solid franchise quarterback for a long time. Fourth pick, Darren McFadden.
Ugh.
Yeah, no. That's a no. Fifth pick,
Did
Chiefs.
You say Darren McFarland?
Yes.
No. I'd like to have McFadden's checks. But overall, he was a miss. Glenn Dorsey, fifth pick to the Chiefs.
Did they ever misspell one of his checks and send it to you?
No, I wish.
That'd have been nice.
But remember, Phil Still used to tweet out that he was coming on with Darren McFadden.
Yes, he did.
That's right.
It's like, Phil, love you, man, but I'm not Darren McFadden. Sorry. Maybe that's why he agreed to come on all those times back then. He thought he was going on with Darren McFadden. Glenn Dorsey, fifth. What would you say?
Solid, but not a home run.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way.
I'd say he's a double.
Yeah, he's not a. Yeah, he's just kind of okay. Yeah, all right.
I think the Titans had a home run pick that year. 24th overall.
That season, yeah. I mean, home run.
Is this 07?
08.
Oh, wait.
Chris Johnson. Yeah, Chris Johnson
was a home run.
Got to be a home run.
Yeah. 24th overall, yeah. So thought we'd have a little fun with that. It's just goes to show you how difficult it is. And it's interesting.
Yeah,
to
well,
hear
that's what
the mindset.
So you when know, you see, that's why I get on you guys a lot when you're critical, because the bar is so high for those guys, right? That's the thing of when you get picked that high, the expectations are for a home run.
Sure.
Right? So if you have a nice career and you play for 8-9 years and have a better than average career, people still look back and go, "Eh, I don't know." Eh, you know. That's the lens that we see Corey Davis, right? Absolutely.
Yep.
That's the lens. He's done okay, but you're like, "Ah, it's not a home run." Eh.
No, he's not even been
that's
first
what I'm saying,
round.
But
he's not
but,
even
but
been close. He's been like a third or fourth round pick.
Yeah.
Not a first round pick, not a fifth
but
pick
you,
overall.
But you just got done doing the exercise of how rare it is that you have a home run, even for mm-hmm. the top five picks. Yeah. I mean, I bet you if you pick three more years or four more years from 1996 to 1999, I'll bet you would find the same thing. I think.
Yeah.
I could be wrong.
2009 was hot garbage outside of the number one overall pick.
Well, I mean, it's a lot along the lines of what we've been doing. I mean, it really is. I mean, the Lions took Stafford. That's a home run. I mean, he hasn't, once again, he's like Matt Ryan. He hasn't won them a Super Bowl. He hasn't even taken them to the Super Bowl. But they've gotten out of him what you're looking for out of the number one pick. I mean, he's been a franchise quarterback for a very long time.
How about the fifth overall pick?
The Jets.
The
Mark
Sanchez.
Fifth pick overall.
The Sanchez.
By the way, Aaron Curry, fourth pick to the Seahawks.
Ugh.
Those were two big whiffs. Tyson Jackson.
I don't. You can't say Sanchez is a big whiff. I mean, Akili Smith is a big whiff. Who was a
yeah.
top five pick?
Well,
right. There's that level.
Sanchez took him to two
Mark
straight.
Mark Sanchez. They won conference. Some games. They had a great defense. Yeah, he
went
they
to
got
two
to
AFC
some big
title
games,
games
with him.
Yeah.
Two straight AFC title games. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jason Smith, two overall to the Rams. that was a whiff.
Now, 2010 was a little better. I just pulled that up.
It's just, golly, man. It's unbelievable. By the way,
2010 was actually pretty good. Except
the Titans,
for the number one overall pick.
Had the 30th pick in the draft that year. You know,
in 2009?
Yeah, because remember they were coming off that 13-3 season. Where they lost in the first round to the Ravens. Yeah, they took Kenny Britt.
Ooh, Kenny Britt. Good player.
First round pick.
It's going to be our guy. You know, can't play Randy Moss because he plays the same position as Kenny Britt.
Yikes. All right, we'll come back and put a bow on the second hour. Remember, Keith Bullitt coming up at high noon. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase next. We unveiled the Nashville Sports Bracket, the best Nashville athletes of the last 30 years, yesterday in the final hour of our broadcast. We brought in Ryan Port, the program director at ESPN 102.5 The Game, and the chair of our committee, putting together this bracket, which was not easy to do, trying to pick 64 people worthy of this bracket. It was hard to whittle this down, and then you have to seed them. It's tough. It's not easy. And so we unveiled the entire bracket, and today we have unveiled the Jeff Fisher region to you out there online to vote. Go to at 102.5 The Game on our Twitter page, and Steve McNair is the one seed in this bracket. We had on R.A. Dickey earlier in the program, in the first hour. R.A. Dickey is the 7 seed. He's going up against Ryan Tannehill, the 10 seed. We're going to have Keith Bullock on, who is in this region as well. He's the 3 seed. Versus Ingle Martin, the 14 seed. And then Thomas Vokoun in the final hour will join us. And that is the big 8-9 matchup. Thomas Vokoun, the 8 seed. Taylor Lewan, the 9 seed. So with that being said, and you've got until 9 o'clock tonight to get your favorite Nashville athletes to move on past the first round, what are the results looking like with just over 9 hours to go? About 9 hours and 10 minutes of voting to go. Where are we on the voting?
All right, this is what we have so far. Steve McNair, as you said, the number one overall seed. This game being played at the Brownsville Civic Center in West Tennessee. Steve McNair leading the way, 94% over Ian Clark at 6%. So the one over the 16. The 8-9 seed Thomas Vokoun is trailing the 9 seed Taylor Lewan. Taylor Lewan 64% to 36%. P.K. Subban, the 4 seed, 70% of the vote. Over 13-seeded Vince Young, 30% of the vote. The freak, Javon Curse, a 5-seed, 81% over the 12-seed Jay Cutler. And Jay Cutler probably doesn't care. This is the most intriguing matchup right now.
Wait a minute. Where's Jay's people? I mean, let's get Jay's people
right
out there.
He doesn't care.
I don't think Jay doesn't care. He'll probably go hide behind a tree.
We're the Vanderbilt fans. Come on.
I know.
They remember the great game in Knoxville.
Willie, he did. That actually happened one time. I went with Pogi to I think it was in a golf tournament for Mike Heimerdinger. It was the first one they did, and we got sound from a bunch of different people. I go to try and talk to Jay Cutler, and he hid behind a tree.
Was it a thick tree? Or could you see him standing there?
No, he kept peering out to see if I was still there.
Oh, my gosh. That is so Jay Cutler.
Come on, Jay.
Shane Foster.
Come on, Jay.
Shane Foster, the 6 seed, trailing the 11 seed Derek Barnett, 51% to 49%. A close battle.
I told you the 6-11s. I told you this yesterday.
I know.
The 6-11s, those are going to be very tricky, and that's where you look for your upset specials in this bracket, the 6-11s.
I'll tell you, this is a tough one. This is a tough one. It's a pretty even thing, but, man. Shane Foster, all-time leading scorer, player of the year in the SEC. Come on.
I'm glad that, look, it's Vandy, UT. I'm glad that that's close. That's a fun one. Our next guest coming up in just a few minutes, Keith Bullock, a 3 seed, taking on another former Titan, Ingle Martin, the 14 seed. It is all K-Bull right now, 94% to 6%. Our guest from earlier, the 7 seed, R.A. Dickey, right now, getting beaten by the 10th seed, Ryan Tannehill, with 56% of the vote to 44%. And then
this is a crime. This is a crime. That's a crime.
You're not happy about it.
Come on.
What is the percentages again?
56% for Tannehill, 44% for RA.
Need a push from RA.
And then the 2 seed, the captain, Roman Josi, at 95%. Chantel Anderson, 5%, the 15th seed.
There you go. You've got until 9 o'clock, so just over 9 hours to vote the Jeff Fisher region. There's going to be a lot of, right now, looks like Steve McNair is going to advance to the second round. It looks like Roman Josi is going to advance to the second round. It looks like Javon Curse is going to advance to the second round. It looks like P.K. Subban is going to advance to the second round. And right now, and we're going to talk to Thomas Vokoun at 1 o'clock, if Thomas Vokoun's fans don't start voting for him, and he doesn't start voting for him, Taylor Wan is going to run away with that. So you got 9 hours to get in there and vote. It's a lot of fun. Do you know what region we're going to be unveiling tomorrow?
I need to pull up my email.
Okay.
So I don't.
We got to. In the meantime, while you pull that up, we got to make sure people keep voting and tell your friends. Pass it along. We want accurate assessments here of our listenership. Or how they feel about things. We don't want people to wake up tomorrow and go, "Oh, I didn't see that. I didn't vote." We need participation.
All right. So this will be the voting schedule. Tomorrow will be the Tim Corbin region.
Okay. So we're going to go Jeff Fisher, Tim Corbin. So the left side of the bracket, we're going to knock out in the first 2 days.
And
okay?
Then Thursday,
so you'll see it when you go to our page at 102.5 The Game. You'll see each one. You know, you don't have to fill out a whole bracket, right? We make this very, very easy for you. If you haven't looked at it yet, you'll just scroll down, and you'll see each of the individual matchups, and it's just one click. So it'll take you 10 seconds, 30 seconds to do the entire bracket, really.
And we have we have a tweet that just happened 7 seconds ago. Will Compton, one of the boys, here's something I will be getting behind while I'm bored at home, fighting to make the boy Taylor Lewan the greatest Nashville athlete in the last 30 years. Huge uphill battle with Steve McNair in the second round. Can't take the first round lightly, though. Have to respect the process.
There
that
you go.
That is coming from Will Compton.
So he's got a campaign manager. This is key. So we've got to get one for RA, and we've got to get one for some of the other guys. Maybe we'll get some people for Thomas Vokoun.
Well, Thomas will need to sell people at 1 o'clock, and we will certainly do our part to have a good discussion with him at 1 o'clock. I was just reading where, so keep getting in there and voting, that as of right now, the Kentucky-Michigan game in London is set for December 6th, and there's, you know, don't know if that'll play out or not, but Kentucky and Michigan are supposed to play in college basketball with that music in the background on December 6th. And the reason I bring that up is because, guys, I was flipping through the channels last night. I think it was on CBS Sports Network. They were showing old tournament games, and I stumbled across the 2014 Elite Eight game between Kentucky and Michigan, where Kentucky, remember, was the 8th seed. Remember the Harrison Twins? Julius Randle, and Michigan was the 2 seed, and Kentucky upset them to punch their ticket into the Final Four. And I watched the second half of that game, and I honestly, I forgot about that. That team that was just okay, and then they got hot at the right time. And then remember that Final Four in Dallas was Kentucky and Wisconsin and UConn and Florida. And both Kentucky and UConn came out of that, and that was the 7 seed versus an 8 seed in the national championship game.
Man, I still can't. I had forgotten, and this wasn't that long ago, that UConn resurfaced.
I know.
In the post Jim Calhoun era, right? I mean,
Wasn't it the first year?
Was that the first year? I was trying to remember that. I don't remember exactly.
I think it was the first year after him. Mm-hmm. Because didn't that happen at Indiana, right? The first year after Bobby Knight, didn't they go to the national championship game?
Yeah, Mike Davis.
Mike Davis, right? I feel like that was the same thing with UConn. First year after, and they went all the way and won it. But just interesting, hard to believe, 6 years ago, we had a 7-8 in the national title game.
That's crazy.
What was the year that Butler played UConn a few years before that? Those were two pretty low seeds, if I remember correctly.
Butler was in 2010.
Well, they went to two finals in a row. Remember?
So 2010, 2011?
I think so, yeah. So I think 2011 was UConn over Butler. Pretty low-scoring game. I want to say that both of those teams were a little lower seeds, but I can't remember exactly.
2010,
this is the problem. The more recent it is, the tougher it is for me to remember in some ways. Does that mean I'm just getting old? Does that happen to everybody, or is that just me? Is my mind just going?
I think that's usually how it works.
Because yeah. I can go starting five, like go through the 80s and almost name the starting five and everybody in the Final Four and all the coaches and everything like that, tell you about the games. I love when they put these up now. Like they had, for example, they did the 2010 game on Sunday, didn't they? Butler against Duke, the Hayward heave that hit the back of the rim that would have won it at the buzzer. Mm-hmm. I was trying to remember who the players were on each team.
The 50-footer at the buzzer?
Yeah. I mean, that was a great game. That wasn't that long ago, but I'm still thinking to myself, I watched this game, but I can't remember everything.
By the way, I was like, oh, yeah. Do you know who else was on that 2014 Kentucky roster in that Michigan game, that team that went to the national championship game as an 8 seed? I brought up the Harrison Twins and Julius Randle. But I'm bringing up a guy for a reason. He's in our listening area.
The kid out of Clarksville?
Alex Poitras.
Alex Poitras, yeah. Great player.
It's a good team.
I was like, oh, yeah, Poitras was on that team.
Well, I'll tell you what, you got to be.
What did he stay? End up staying 3-4 years at Kentucky?
Yeah, he stayed a lot. Like that, but that's the challenging thing. Like I watched, you know, recently they had the 92 regional final. That Kentucky team's easy to remember because they had a lot of the same guys for, you know, 2-3-4 year stretch. You know, even Mashburn played 3 years, right? Those guys are easy. Then 97. A little different, 96, 97, 98, you know, it's hard to remember who was on which team, but you can name the guys. But then once you get into that Coach Cal era, where so much of the roster changes every year, it's really tough to nail the year and who was on each team, right? Because a lot of those guys are gone after 1 year.
Yep.
You got to be a trivia master to pull that off.
No doubt. We will come back with Keith Bullock to kick off the third hour of Darren Donick and Chase next.
Moro Casino. American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.